listening to the Paul McGuire Report. I'm Paul McGuire. Where we are in history right now, at this second, at this moment, whatever nation you live in, for many of us listening now, we live in the United States of America. Vast numbers of you live in some nation within the European Union. Others live in Asia, others South America and Canada, and so forth around the world. What is happening now in history has never happened before. We are in a place that the human race has never collectively experienced in all of mankind's history. There have been minor productions, so to speak, of these events, but never on the titanic global scale they're happening now. Specifically, the coronavirus. Now remember, ancient Israel, ancient Israel is very much like the evangelical church in some respects. Because you see, God punished his people for violating the Sabbath and many of his laws, idolatry primarily. God punished the ancient Jews by putting them under captivity under the Pharaoh, or what I call the Pharaoh God-King system. And so the children of Israel worked as slaves, toiled hard as slaves, working for Pharaoh as punishment. You see, they were in captivity because of their punishment. And we have to understand a fundamental biblical principle that any good Bible teacher will teach you, and that is this. But before I say that, if a Bible teacher never teaches you what I'm about to share with you from the Word of God, you're talking about an unfaithful Bible teacher. What are you doing sitting under his or her ministry, by the way? Shame on you. It's called apostasy when God's people fall away from the truth. In that very real sense, God's people, the Jews in the Old Testament, violated the laws of God. And so, according to the laws of God, they were sent into captivity to serve the Pharaoh as slaves. They had homes, modest homes and dwellings, and they were allowed to be married and to have children. It wasn't slavery in the sense in some cases it was a softer slavery, in other cases it was a harder slavery than traditional models of slavery throughout human history. So God's people were punished for worshiping idols, false gods, and for breaking his laws. That is the template revealed in Deuteronomy 28, the blessings and the curses. If you worship false gods, that passage says, you and your nation will be under a curse. If you worship the true God, the biblical God, and you hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, or obey his word, then you will be raised up above all the nations of the earth, and you will be blessed in every sphere of life, not just the spiritual world. So here in America, we are in not just the ultimate crisis, for crying out loud, you know, I'm going to restrain myself from giving in to the temptation of emotionalism right now, because the stakes are too high. Right now, at this time, at this moment in America, we are in a life and death struggle for the very future of an America even worth living in. And we are in a life and death struggle for our very lives, your children's lives, husband, wife, single person, single parent, elderly, young people. Every part of reality is about to change depending upon what happens in the relatively near future. And what happens in the relatively near future comes down to the choice that people will make, especially God's people. What America will look like, or will not look like, because it may be annihilated, is contingent primarily upon the choices Christians make and the masses of Americans. And if we make a good choice, and how do you make a good choice? We'll discuss that later. Or if they make a bad choice, it's not like it was in previous generations. It's nothing like it was in previous times. Nothing has ever happened like this since, it's never happened, not even in 1776 and before that. There has never been a time when all of America and all of the world is living in their condos, their apartments, their homes, or wherever they live, and they're in a state of being quarantined social isolation. Social isolation that is so hideous in one's imagination, but you don't even have to use your imagination to perceive the totality of the hideousness of the moment. Yeah, swallow that, man. It'll do you good. It'll wake you up and slap you in the face, and you'll be sober. You'll see, you won't be drunk spiritually. You'll see what's happening. We have images of political leaders and political parties, and the poster shot that you see on the ad for these politicians is they're all wearing, you know, they're wearing suits, expensive suits and expensive dresses, and their hair is done perfectly, et cetera, et cetera. But at the same time, they're all wearing these ghoulish looking horror movie style masks covering their noses and faces. When you look at it, it literally looks like you're looking at the cover of a Stephen King novel, you know, the master horror novelist. What should be looked at as the theater of the absurd by any sane, thinking, logical, rational person is an image that a publishing company would compete to buy to sell a horror novel, like one written by Stephen King. You have these, I don't know, four or five politicians, and they're running for election, and then their faces are covered with this dark mask. It's not the usage of the mask that is intellectually obscene. That's not the problem. The problem is it is a photographic projection of what America has now become and where America is going. And then, because the vast majority of Americans, and I hope you're listening to me carefully, those of you in the European Union or Great Britain or wherever you are on planet Earth, Africa, Australia, New Zealand, wherever, man, wherever you are, it doesn't matter. North Dakota, South Carolina, California, wherever you live, you're told by the mainstream media, which is just, and all the content of the mainstream media is controlled by just three globalist multinational corporations. And this political poster trying to project leadership for the future, on one hand, you understand that their strategists want to emphasize that they're the party of medical, being medically responsible and not wanting to transmit the disease. On one hand, you could say, all right, that's the messaging. But some, they hired the wrong person or something, because the overwhelming effect is it's grotesque. It's freaky. It's like a horror movie. It's like Halloween. Except it's your reality and my reality. And they use over and over again, because the American public and other publics have been subjected to scientific social engineering for 50 years, and they've been dumbed down, which is a fancy way of saying they can no longer think rationally. They no longer have the ability to think logically. They no longer know anything about facts. They no longer know anything about history. It's like somebody erased whatever content was in their minds. It got erased. You think I'm kidding? I'm not kidding. You remember those polls when they polled the millennials less than a year ago? And when they polled the millennials, they discovered that the entire millennial generation, all those young people graduating from colleges, the entire millennial generation, the overwhelming percentage of them cannot tell you what communism is, what Marxism is, what socialism is, or what national socialism is. They can't tell you what it is because they don't know. They're not educated. Going to school and being indoctrinated is not the same thing as being educated. They don't even, and they advocate also in polls, the millennial generation and others, that they overwhelmingly believe that communism would be the best economic plan for our nation, America. They believe that with fervor. They believe that communism would be the best thing for every American. And yet, they have no idea. They have no ability to tell you what communism is. They don't even understand what communism is, or Marxism, or socialism. And they have absolutely no knowledge of history and what history teaches us. Recent history teaches us about the fate of every single nation that goes down the path to communism, Marxism, and socialism. Don't you hear these people calling in some of the talk shows? Very rarely do you hear it on TV, but you hear it on talk shows. People call in. This young lady called in from Venezuela, which is in the throes of a Marxist revolution. And she was pleading. She was an intelligent woman, and she was pleading with Americans to wake up. She had now moved to the United States. She was pleading to Americans on the radio not to make the mistake that they made in Venezuela, where the masses believed all these promises. And now there's no food on the shelves, and it's under a dictatorship. And you know what happens to dictatorships. Should know anyway. So we are right now in the center of the cyclone. Whatever the outcome of this future that's racing towards us will determine whether America remains a free nation, a relatively prosperous nation, or America becomes just another hellhole ruled by a communist, Marxist, socialist dictatorship. And because the masses, even older adults, are so dumbed down right now, they have no pictures in their mind. They have no ability to understand what a communist, Marxist, socialist dictatorship looks like, smells like, feels like. They have no idea. They've never seen the data of 240 million people in the last 125 years. 240 million people, for crying out loud, have been killed, shot to death, starved to death, sent to a concentration camp to die, sent to a re-education camp, millions put in locked-down psychiatric hospitals for holding different political beliefs, women raped, little children's bodies sold, no freedom, or you get sent to prison or die or whatever. This is the handwriting of Marxism everywhere it takes root. But it's deeper than that. There's a plot here. This is everything you're seeing is not happening by random chance. It's not happening by accident or a collision of random factors. Everything that's happening is part of a planned operation. And you can know what the planned operation is. You can know the bullet points of what a planned operation entails. I have it in my books. Other people have written it down. It's about America, Constitution, the Bill of Rights, the Declaration of Independence, all being destroyed, demolished, and we enter a totalitarian regime. And in a totalitarian regime, my friends, you have no freedoms, not even the promise of freedom. In a totalitarian regime, you have no freedom of religion. You have no freedom of speech. You have no freedom of the press. You have no freedom of assembly. You don't have promises like the Creator, capital C, has given us certain inalienable rights, such as life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. That is not even a viable concept in a totalitarian regime. So how is this happening right before our eyes? When any people or individual stop learning, owning, knowing the truth, they become soft targets for the demons of hell and men and women who are possessed by the demons from hell. They're easily manipulated and controlled via mind control and propaganda because they don't even know their own minds. Now, in a second, I'm going to bring up to you another example of in-your-face, flagrant, transparent, it should be transparent, example of what I consider a major mind control operation through the usage of language that's being used upon you and the masses of people in America. They have learned to weaponize words, and those words are being aimed against you. You better wake up. I'm telling you, you don't have much time to wake up. If this is launched, it's over. It's over. Sobering, yeah, it should be very sobering. But there's freedom possible. It doesn't have to be this way. It can still be turned around. There is still hope, but you've got to get off your posterior and get on your knees before God and cry out to him. There's still hope. Jesus didn't fall off the throne. You're listening to the Paul McGuire Report. I'm Paul McGuire. Visit paulmcguire.us. You are listening to the Paul McGuire Report. I'm Paul McGuire. We are broadcasting from Southern California, where the fires have been raging. This morning I got up and looked at the sky. You couldn't even see. The sky was just filled with smoke. the moon was a red, it was sunrise, but the moon was a reddish, color because of all the smoke from the fires. And the fires rage in intensity. And then yesterday, temperature where we broadcast from was 115 degrees. And it went higher. And then you turn on the television and you see anarchy and riots and shootings in many different states in America. It appears as if all hell is breaking loose. But then you hear a statement that carries with it so much force that it shatters the narrative. And excuse me for using the word narrative. It's a media word. I despise it. It's pretentious, but I have to communicate, so I'll use the word narrative. And as usual, right on cue, Trump is being attacked. Some new outrageous lie, some new unproven allegation. I mean, it's constant, man. Very, very, very powerful people. There's a reason why they hate this man so much. There's a reason why the most powerful institutions and people have formed an alliance to get him out of the White House. And that's the reason is, it's obvious. You don't arouse that much animosity. You don't arouse that much hatred, etc., unless you're really beginning to step on some powerful people's toes. You see, when you're just like a play-acting politician, like most politicians of both political parties are basically like bad B-movie actors, faking like they're patriotic, faking like they have a really deeply held belief in values or whatever. Trump isn't faking it. Like it or not, he's not faking it. And they despise him. In fact, you ought to be praying for them, praying for him, and all those who are running for political office of both parties. But you need to especially pray for Trump, because he is in mortal danger. They don't want him. When I say they, I'm not talking about the American people. I'm talking about the globalist elite that control our global system and that have been essentially having a free reign in controlling America. Donald Trump is their biggest threat. So the news media, the mainstream media, when I heard the report from the reporters who claimed that President Trump had said negative comments about America's continual involvement in foreign wars or something. So they outlined what they claimed he said, and the key word was, and some of these people were big names on Fox. It's obvious there's a war going on inside the Fox News network, because it's like watching a football game. You can see the two teams, both on the Fox News Network, competing for the audience, competing in terms of the message. So it was two prominent Fox reporters, one a female, who their term, or what really would be called, should be called a propaganda tool or a mind control term. They use this new term. It's called, quote, confirmed. In other words, it just becomes so Orwellian, so much like the thought police, so much like Big Brother, that the lying is intensifying. So remember that all after all the impeachment here in hearings and all the investigation into Trump and the different conspiracy theories and it and none of it proved to be true. None of it, or he'd be impeached and he's not. And the problem that kept continually coming up as they were trying to impeach Trump is that they didn't have any firsthand witnesses. They didn't have firsthand documentation. And at that time, they would always talk about their sources, etc. And they would never name their sources, okay? Which is outrageous. I mean, you're accusing somebody in a legal sense, and you have no legal evidence at all that what someone's being accused of, that they ever actually did. But now, just 2 days ago, they started using a new word. They call it, quote, confirmed. So you make an allegation, and this particular journalist, Jeffrey Goldberg, wrote a story about Donald Trump's comments about American soldiers. And this so-called respectable reporter, which is really an impossibility, he used the word confirm. So when it was challenged, like, where did you get that information? Where are your sources? Where's your documentation? What witness do you have that actually heard him say this? Et cetera, et cetera. What evidence do you have to support that he actually said this? Now, the point is they kept using the word, when they were asked those tough questions, they kept using the word, well, we have confirmed this, or I have, a reporter, have confirmed this. So the word confirmed is basically, it's a bogus, fake, mind trick word. It's like you asking me, did you go shopping yesterday? And I didn't go shopping, let's say. I was at the beach, which I was not, by the way, but in this hypothetical drama, I was at the beach. So you go on the air and say, sources confirmed, Paul McGuire was on the beach. In reality, I was not on the beach. But you've told everybody, you've confirmed it. What does confirmed mean? They don't use that term. In this sense, the term confirmed is a loophole to allow you or the journalist or the publication or the media group to lie. It's a term that gives a fake news journalist, a spreader of disinformation, it gives them the excuse for making stuff up. So when you're challenged, when the reporter is challenged, they say, we have it confirmed. When I saw this one lady on Fox News kept saying, I have it confirmed. And she was, fake press. By that I mean, like the other Fox journalist was pretending to be tough on the other Fox journalists. But she didn't say she had evidence that Donald Trump said this. She didn't say that we have proof. It has been confirmed. Well, what confirmed by who? Confirmed by what? It's just a word to dance around having to provide documentation or facts based on what you're alleging. That's all it is. And the danger here is now we've taken it to a different level. Remember, in all the impeachment hearings, et cetera, they were constantly trying to, they constantly claimed they had evidence showing that, that Trump was in collusion with Russia. And then there was other things he was guilty of. But they could never find witnesses. They never had proof. They never had evidence that was credible or legal or legitimate. We just had to take their word for it. But now they've taken it to a new level by using this word confirm. And then when you say, well, here at CNN, we have confirmed, that means nothing. What do you mean confirm? How have you confirmed it? And they will never tell you. They'll just keep repeating in a cyclical manner. Oh, no, we have this confirmed. Well, what do you mean you have it confirmed? How do you have it confirmed? Well, I just told you. It's been confirmed. You see, this is like double talk. It's lying. It's manipulative. It's for the purpose of mind control upon the stupid. You're listening to the Paul McGuire Report. We'll be back in just a second. This is the Paul McGuire Report. I'm Paul McGuire. There is a war raging, an information war. The purpose of the information war is to change people's minds, shape people's minds, because we're very close to a presidential election. So all hell is breaking loose. And it's going to intensify. You're going to hear more lies, more, quote, confirmed stories that are not confirmed. You ain't seen nothing yet. You better begin to pray. I pray daily. Many of you pray daily, for not only for yourself, but for your family and others, for this election. No matter where you stand politically, you need to be on your knees praying. And if the attitude of your heart when you're praying is not what's best for America and the people of America, all the people of America, that should be your motive of your prayer. But if you're only making your decision on based on what goodies or promises that a particular politician has made, then your prayer is based on selfishness. Do you really think God's going to honor that prayer? But then on the other hand, you can't confuse genuine or the agape love of Jesus Christ, true spiritual love. You can't confuse that with the recycled Marxism and communism, which uses all these terms. You see, communism is all about counterfeiting love. Communism, in its essence, is a satanic counterfeit of Christianity. Ask yourself the question. We have numerous, and I write about this in my book, The Greatest Battle for the Hearts and Minds of Mankind in the History of the World. We have numerous major denominations, including the largest evangelical denomination in the United States, the Southern Baptist Convention, that have that these numerous Christian so-called evangelical Christian denominations have, quote, affirmed communism and Marxism and socialism. Now, how is that possible? Because when you really, if you do any studying whatsoever about the true nature of communism and Marxism is, you understand that in its essence, communism, Marxism, and socialism are social, political ideologies which are militantly anti-Christian. In fact, when you really understand the history and the ideology of communism and Marxism, you then clearly understand that communism, Marxism, and socialism is a satanic counterfeit of Christianity. And it's based on deception, it's based on lies. And it doesn't liberate the masses, it enslaves them. So how is it possible that the heads and leaders and pastors and seminary professors of all and Bible teachers of all these Christian evangelical Christian denominations, evangelical churches, how is it that they're teaching their young people, their adults, their congregation, how is it that they are now regularly teaching them the principles of Marxist revolutionary transformation, communism, and socialism? How could that be when communism, Marxism, and socialism are in fact satanically, they're satanic counterfeits of Christianity? You're preaching a doctrine of demons in so-called evangelical churches and evangelical denominations and evangelical seminaries. You have so-called professors and pastors and leaders teaching the doctrine of demons. How can you disciple people in Christ when you're discipling them with the language, the philosophy of satanically generated Marxism, communism, and socialism? That's apostasy. The Bible warned about that, that in the last days, that there would be a great apostasy in the last days. And when you define the word apostasy, it comes from the word apostasia. And it means the great falling away of those that claim to be Christians in the last days. So Bible prophecy warns us in numerous places that in the last days, there will be a great apostasy or a great falling away from the truth of the gospel by so-called believers in the last days. And when, if you know, and you should, if you know what this doctrine of demons that the young people in these evangelical churches and denominations are being taught, it's a crime before God Almighty. It's a crime before the brutal crucifixion of Christ. You are committing a crime against the Lord Jesus Christ of the highest level, because you're embracing and accepting satanic doctrine into your churches and then discipling your young people and the little boys and girls who go to your youth programs. You're discipling them in the satanic doctrine of demons. What do you think the end game to that will be? Well, already we have 8 out of 10 kids from evangelical homes walking away from their faith in Jesus Christ by the time they enter college. 8 out of 10 kids from evangelical homes walk away from their Christian faith by the time they enter college. Now, that's a disaster right there. Add to that this new indoctrination in hardcore Marxism and communism and socialism. Bible prophecy warns of this. And see, it always proceeds on lying, deception, spiritual darkness. Okay, in this article by Gary Greenwald, many of you know his name, in The Intercept, he's quoting from an article that was written by Jeffrey Goldberg in The Atlantic magazine. And the accusation is made that President Donald Trump on numerous occasions said certain disparaging things against the U.S. troops. But, and that's a pretty big claim to make, but at this point, they have no solid evidence that Trump said that. They have no written evidence that Trump said that. They have no video evidence that Trump said that. So this is just making something up, like all the other stuff they made up about Trump. So instead of saying, and I really didn't expect them to say this, when they're challenged, like, what proof do you have that President Trump said this? And you can't expect them to say, well, we have none. But essentially, they have said we have none. They just substituted the word confirm as a mind control word. So now all the journalists say, well, we have this story confirmed. What do you mean you have it confirmed? What does that mean? Well, I'm not allowed to talk about it, but be assured we know that this is true because I have this story about President Trump, and it is confirmed. So all of a sudden, for the first time in the history of America, all of the major mainstream media in unison is now using the exact same word, that they have this lie that they've confirmed that Trump really said it. Confirmed is a loophole word. It's a bogus word. It's a word designed to make it sound like you. Confirmed is a word developed by social engineers, by mind control experts, to deceive people that have already been dumbed down and cannot use their logical thinking centers in their brain. Dumbed down people, when they hear, oh, the story is confirmed, believe it. No. You have to think analytically. How is it confirmed? By what manner was it confirmed? You don't have the right to just say it's confirmed. You have to have proof, evidence. They have none. So it's very interesting, too, that the mainstream media all says this exact same thing, including, by the way, I hate to break your hearts, I'm sorry, but you better look really carefully at your favorite so-called conservative, Christian-friendly news network. They have a lot of really good people on board. But notice the ratio of the really good people they have on board to some really questionable, if not evil, people that they have on board. The ratio of the really good people seems to be shrinking every day, and the voices of those that are propagandists and liars, it becomes stronger and stronger in your favorite network. I was going to say something, but maybe the beginning of wisdom is not to always say what you think. All right. So what happened was CNN, CNN is like George Orwell, 1984, the thought police. So they talk about this fake news story of Trump saying these bad things about the U.S. troops in certain wars. And CNN claims that the story has been confirmed. And then the Washington... But here's the interesting thing. It's like stepping on a time bomb, because while all these news outlets are saying the story's been confirmed, you have other people like John Bolton and a few other media people, not many, saying the story is bogus. It has not been confirmed. So CNN breaks the story, and then MSNBC continues to perpetuate the bogus story. And then they're all claiming, for example, MSNBC confirmed the false story. CNN confirmed their false story. And CBS News claims to have confirmed the same false story. Now, I'm going to quote from Greenwald's article. It's one thing for a news outlet to make a mistake in reporting by, For instance, misreporting the date of an email and thus getting the story completely wrong. But how is it possible that multiple other media outlets could confirm the same false report? It's possible because news outlets have completely distorted the term, quote, confirmation, beyond all recognition. Indeed, they now use it to mean the exact opposite of what it actually means, thereby draping themselves in journalistic glory they have not earned, and worse, deceiving the public into believing that an unproven assertion has in fact been proven. With this disinformation method, they are doing the exact opposite of what journalism at its core is supposed to do, separate fact from speculation. Now, when I'm reading this from Gary Greenwald, the image of the female journalist and the male journalist, I've noticed that on this particular conservative news network, you don't even have to look carefully. There are those, it's fine, have a difference of opinion. That's fine. But when this one girl, who's supposed to be an expert in these areas, with short, very short brown hair, supposedly the big expert in these areas, when she was asked by the other Fox journalist or reporter on the air, Fox lady said, I have the story confirmed repeatedly. Confirmed means nothing. Confirmed is a bogus word. That's like having to take your finals or taking a test in high school or college, and you hand in your paper and there's nothing on it, and your teacher or professor says, well, where's your essay? Test question answers. And you say to your professor or teacher, well, don't worry about that because I have it confirmed. And they look at the paper and there's nothing on it. What do you mean you have it confirmed? Trust me, I have it confirmed. It's that level of stupidity. It's crazy talk. They don't have anything confirmed. That's why they're using the word confirmed. It's a word designed to give you a license to lie at an egregious level. All right, so what does this mean? You can expect between now and day after day an increase of false allegations, lies, trickery, deceit, videos, because there are very powerful forces, more powerful than simply at the level of the United States of America. I'm talking about very powerful globalist forces. I'm talking about the globalist elite who are firmly for globalism. They're firmly for trade treaties.
And why is it that the super capitalists and the super rich are always the ones that want socialism, liberalism, communism, Marxism, and it's the super rich that finance socialism and Marxism? You say, well, that doesn't make sense. But it only doesn't make sense if you don't understand history and you don't really understand economics. If all you ever were taught was what you learned in the educational system in America, then it would all be a confusing mess and you wouldn't understand it. But if you educate yourself, you'll understand this principle. And understanding this principle will give you power that other people don't have. The principle is this, that communism, Marxism, and socialism, and radical liberalism, that is the secret plan used by the super wealthy, the super rich, the globalist capitalist elite. Because it's only through communism and Marxism that the super, super rich can totally dominate and control a population and a nation. That way, the super capitalists and the globalist elite capitalists, the way they buy or acquire assets and properties, they don't always do it legally. They'll simply finance a communist revolution in any given nation, like they did in Russia before 1917. The super rich will finance a communist, socialist, Marxist revolution, like the one they're attempting to ignite in the United States with all these riots. Because you see, when they topple an existing governmental order, then they can install a dictatorship, create a totalitarian regime, and in terms of cost efficiency, that's the cheapest way. The super rich capitalists get to buy entire nations and all the assets of an entire nation for pennies on the dollar if they do it through a stealth mechanism called a communist Marxist revolution. And if you don't believe that, it's simply because you don't know the facts. And then you owe it to yourself to know the facts. In my book, The Day the Dollar Died, I probably have, it's one of the fastest reading books I've written. And I talk about this in simple terms, fast-moving terms. I basically outline that con game that I just talked to you about. In fact, on page 83 of my book, The Day the Dollar Died, available at paulmcguire.us, I have a chapter entitled The Great Con Game Called Socialism. And I'll read to you what I wrote. We live in an era when millions of students around the world, especially in America, have been dumbed down by the social engineering classes we call public education. John Dewey, who was a militant humanist and socialist, understood that the way you change a nation is through indoctrinating children in school. In a UNESCO series, now remember, UNESCO is the United Nations global educational arm. It's the UN's division that controls all education, film, learning, et cetera, all over the world. So, in a UNESCO series of booklets entitled Toward World Understanding, 1949, the UN was formed in 1948. Okay, barely a year had gone by since the formation of the United Nations, where they're already establishing UNESCO and publishing a booklet in 1949. Now, let me read you what they wrote in 1949, and they have not changed their agenda. Quote, the kindergarten has a significant part to play in a child's education. Not only can it correct many of the errors of home training, it can prepare the child for membership in the world society. The success of the teacher in bringing up his pupils is to be good citizens of the world. As long as the world-mindedness can only produce precarious results. In America, like the former Soviet Union, Nazi Germany, China, and Cuba, have an actual educational system whose primary goal is social engineering. And I would add, so does the United States if I was to rewrite this book. Let me give you, you have to understand why these people hate Trump pathologically. He is a threat to their one world government, their new world order. So on page 83 of my book, The Day the Dollar Died, I'll read this part to you. Addressing 2,000 teachers in Denver, Colorado, in 1973, Dr. Chester Pierce, a Harvard University professor, said, every child in America who enters school at the age of 5 is mentally ill because he comes to our school with allegiance towards elected officials, our institutions, our founding fathers, towards our institutions, towards the preservation of our form of government, patriotism, nationalism, and
sovereignty proves that children are sick, because the truly well individual is one who has rejected all of those things and is what I would call the true international child of the future. Okay, you see, what's playing out in the streets now was not created last week. It was not created after Trump got into office. It was not created by the Obama administration. This was all created, a lot of it, in 1948, or going back further in time. This is a long-term plan. And notice, the UN could very well be the one world government written about in the book of Revelation. Now, I'm not saying that with a certainty, because there may rise some other global government. The UN may not be, quote, the global government of Revelation. It may be some other globalist organization. But the point is, they are saying right here, back in 1948, that the purpose of education is not to educate, it's to brainwash kids and adults into being good world citizens. They hate nationalism. They hate patriotism. That's why they hate Trump. And then this Harvard University professor, who is speaking to 2,000 teachers in Denver, Colorado in 1973, publicly says, every child, quote, every child in America who enters school at the age of 5 is mentally ill because he or she comes to school with allegiance towards elected officials, our institutions, our founding fathers, towards the preservation of our form of government. Patriotism, nationalism, and sovereignty proves that children are sick. Because the truly psychologically well individual is one who has rejected all of these things and is what I would call the true international child of the future. So the game plan is to brainwash people into hating America, hating our founding fathers, hating any of the symbols that memorialize America, and a communist revolution must always destroy all of this Judeo-Christian capitalist thinking. That's why the Frankfurt School Marxist professors who mapped out a full-blown communist Marxist revolution for the United States, but to do it through a cultural revolution first, Marxist professors in the Frankfurt School, their number one thing to do was to destroy the religion of Christianity. Number two, destroy the family. Number three, destroy moral absolutes like right and wrong. Number four, to destroy nationalism. And number five, to destroy patriotism. That's what's happening in the streets right now. Education is an afterthought. Brainwashing is the primary purpose. And this is what's happening right before our eyes. Now, the problem is that in every communist revolution, socialist, Marxist revolution, it's always based on spiritual deception, lies. And every time, the outcome is the same. Total loss of freedom, total economic despair and poverty, no right to free speech, no rights at all. I mean, think of any right you have. You lose it under a communist, socialist, Marxist regime. Your health care is mediocre to horrible. Your food supply, it deteriorates. And then anybody who complains, anybody who's bitter, anybody who disagrees, anybody who voices a dissenting opinion disappears, is killed, shot, murdered, brainwashed,
or worse. And that is not a place that you want to live in. But it's these principles that have seduced a dangerously large percentage of people in America. And that's why you have certain political parties and politicians playing and placating to that percentage that has been brainwashed into believing that they're going to be given heaven on earth and a super wealthy, high-paying job, and all the money will be equally redistributed. Those are all lies. All lies. And never forget this. In my book, The Greatest Battle for the Hearts and Minds of Mankind in the History of the World, I outline all this. But one of the most important things that's in that book, The Greatest Battle, is this. I studied multiple philosophers, historians, economists, and the really smart ones all said the same thing. And they said that the ultimate driving force behind communism, socialism, and Marxism, the ultimate driving and energizing force, is not an economic one. It's not a political one. It's not an ideological one. They said that the ultimate energizing force that drives communist, Marxist, and socialist revolutions is a total pathological hatred for Christianity and Jesus Christ. That if you analyze the motives of all the so-called famous communist leaders, and you look into their lives, including Karl Marx, the author of the Communist Manifesto, the thing that made his clock tick, the driving force behind him, was not a zeal to bring in a workers' paradise. It was not a zeal to provide universal health care. It was not a zeal to create this just society. No, what drove Karl Marx and other major communist leaders was he despised Christianity and Jesus Christ with every cell in his being. So his motive, as well as the true motive of many of the communist, Marxist, and socialist leaders, was not economic. It wasn't political. It wasn't ideological. They had received a spirit of Antichrist in them. Because you see, a free society like America, a free society which allows capitalism, is the only kind of society that permits and allows the religion of Christianity to be practiced, preached, taught, and lived without interference. Karl Marx was a Satanist. His sister was a head of a satanic church. So were many of the other communist leaders. And they hated with a demonic hatred. And many communist leaders today still have that demonic hatred. They just hide it under a mask. They hate Jesus Christ. They hate Christianity. Why? Because they're literally being energized by demonic forces. And unless you understand that truth, and unless you fully educate yourself and comprehend that truth and how it's affecting your world right now and will most likely determine your future, you must, if you're going to survive, your children are going to survive, et cetera, you must understand this simple principle. And that is this, that the bottom line, the force, the rage, the hatred you see on people's faces, it is not about racial disparity. That's a symptom of something deeper. The deeper thing is it's communism, Marxism, socialism is an antichrist movement, lowercase a, antichrist movement, energized by the spirit of Antichrist. And that's what you have to understand. And all these talking heads that on conservative shows, you know, I thank God for that. There's people need that kind of information, but you're only giving people a thimbleful of the truth.
Give them the whole truth, man. We live in a spiritual world, in a spiritual universe. Quit pretending we live in a world that's just composed of the physical dimensions, what our senses can perceive, like hearing and seeing, etc. That's what you get in most conservative programs. You get a regurgitation of what's called a materialistic worldview. And that's a worldview or a perception that the only thing that's real is that which you can see and perceive with your physical senses. That is not how reality is constructed. You have to understand what final reality is. What is final reality? It means what is really real. You see, people have an opinion of what they believe is real. People have a belief of what they think is real. But none of that means a hoot if, when the day is done, it's not really real. In other words, if it comes down to it, it's just what they think is real versus what is really real apart from what they think, then they will never know the truth and they can never experience freedom. That's why so many Christians, you know, live lives of oppression and spiritual bondage. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. The truth is powerful. By the way, if Jesus Christ was not Lord, if God the Creator did not create the world, then, I mean, don't you think that this Antichrist hatred of Christians, of Jesus Christ, and the religion of Christianity, it's all kind of like, all that hatred is rather absurd and ridiculous if indeed, as they claim, Christianity is not real. Who with any brain at all would be so uptight, so angry, so filled with demonic rage and want to devote their lives to destroying Christians and attacking Jesus Christ? Why bother if Jesus Christ indeed was not real and if he isn't God? You see, the level of their animosity, the level of their satanic hatred exposes the living reality of Jesus Christ. People don't react to nothing. They're reacting to something. The anger, the communist revolutions, the hatred for the truth of God's word is a symptom of their reacting to the fact that, yes, indeed, Jesus Christ exists. Christianity is truth. Otherwise, why get so upset? The fact that they get so upset is proof that they know that God exists deep inside. So America is at a turning point right now. We've never been presented with this choice. This is probably the last choice we're going to get. If we make the wrong choice, and it's the last choice, once you enter one of these totalitarian systems, it's next to impossible to reverse it. It's like locked in. I mean, there have been no notable, significant nations that have gone through a communist revolution that have ever come back. The people will live in perpetual slavery. Is that what you want in America? Especially when the whole reason America was founded by our founding fathers was to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ and to spread, teach Christianity. All, or the majority of all of our Ivy League universities were originally created by the Pilgrims and Puritans to educate men biblically and prepare them for the ministry and to teach people the Word of God as well as the standard academic subjects. And the Pilgrim and Puritan schools, beginning with kindergarten and going to the university level, were the highest rated schools academically in the nation. So our founding fathers all went to Pilgrim Puritan schools, whether they were, quote, you know, so-called Christians or not. So the choices that we're going to have to make very soon
are going to affect our future and destiny. Now ask yourself the question, how can people who claim to be conservatives, claim to believe in Christianity, claim to be born again, how can so many of these people be never Trumpers? I mean, how can you have people like George Bush and Romney and others who claim to be Christians or claim to believe in Christian values or whatever, and yet they would rather vote for the agenda of a radical Marxist than socialist? I mean, doesn't that expose to you the true nature of what's inside their hearts? I mean, it reveals who they are. It blows my mind that people can't see that. It reveals who they really are. And your future and my future hangs in the balance, but more importantly than that, for those of you who have children or no children or grandchildren or whatever, should the Lord tarry, and don't be so presumptuous to know when Jesus Christ is going to return. We got a lot. We have, in addition to the pandemic, we have an epidemic in the internet, especially of self-proclaimed prophets. And they all are prophesying slightly different messages. And if that's who you're going to for your ultimate authority, you're going to walk into a trap. Your ultimate authority is the prophecies of God's word, not Joe from Kokomo, you know, who a miracle happened to him 3 years ago, and now he's, you know, prophesying, you know, he's the self-appointed highest prophet in the land. If you're following Joe from Kokomo, I mean, may the Lord have mercy on your soul. The word of God is our final authority. The word of God is our final authority. And God has warned us in the past about such a time as this. And we're here. And what is at stake is America will either become enslaved through godless totalitarianism, or God will give us a divine reprieve and allow our economy to rebound. He'll sustain our freedoms if we will be faithful to repent, to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, to bring in the last day soul harvest, because this is the number one thing on God's heart. God is love. And God wants every man and woman to live with him in heaven. But that can only happen if people go out because the fields are white with harvest. Now, that isn't being done. It is being done. It has been done. But it's being suffocated right now. The voice of the gospel is being suppressed, attacked, and suffocated. So, it's the will of God. God has a prophetic destiny for you as an individual. God has a prophetic destiny for the nation you live in. God has a prophetic destiny for America. Prophetic destiny for America is God raised up America to be a champion of freedoms, to be a platform for the gospel of Jesus Christ to be preached. America was supposed to launch people's ability to make disciples of all nations and to be a defender of the nation of Israel in the last days and to be a light to the nations. Well, look, we have failed in many respects on a lot of those assignments. Let's not deceive ourselves. But we can repent and return back to walk in the ways of the Lord. There's like in the invisible realm, there's a scale there with weights on it to see what's hanging in the balance. In other words, I believe that scale represents God is a supreme judge. His courtroom is the supreme courtroom, and America is hanging in the balance. The time is running out for the final total. Because at a certain point, no matter what aspirations or prophetic destiny God may have assigned to America, America can and God's people can willfully choose to rebel against God's sovereign plan for America. God's people have been given free will. They can continue to reject God's offer of salvation eternally and God's deliverance and rescue for his people right now in the middle of the chaos that's going on in the streets all over America. You're listening to the Paul McGuire Report. I'm Paul McGuire. Be sure to visit paulmcguire.us. Be sure you stay connected to our videos. YouTube has made, once again, not surprisingly, changes which severely restrict the distribution of videos. You want to continue to see our videos and receive our audio, you're going to have to regularly go to paulmcguire.us and check out the new links and what to connect to. You're going to find this is true with many people that you're listening to or watching. You're going to have to stay on the ball and stay connected to the main website to get instructions. Otherwise, you're going to wake up and a lot of information that you've been relying on is going to disappear. We'll be back in a moment. This is the Paul McGuire Report. I'm Paul McGuire. Visit paulmcguire.us and spread this message far and wide. This is the Paul McGuire Report. I'm Paul McGuire. Once again, knowledge is power. You shall know the truth. The truth shall set you free. I have in my hands the book, The Day the Dollar Died. I'm going to read you something that documents some of the claims I just made. And I want to remind you, if you go to paulmcguire.us, we have bundled discounts when you buy like three or four books in a package, etc., or if you just want to buy a single book. But I would suggest that you take advantage of the savings and get one of the bundle book packages at paulmcguire.us. And so when you're in a discussion or debating with a friend or family member, I mean, don't be in the defensive all the time. You should be able to just, you know, win the arguments easily. You know, you don't have to be like a scholar in capitalist versus socialist economies or something. Read. No, just have something in your arsenal to win an argument. So, this truth, which should be taught everywhere and it's concealed everywhere, is the fact that the international bankers, the super capitalists, and the world's wealthiest families are the ones secretly financing the riots in the streets. Yep. They're financing this socialist Marxist coup in our nation, and they're using their money to radically transform America into a communist totalitarian nation. And people don't understand that because they've been deprived of knowledge and education. So let me just read you a few things to prove it. In my book, The Day the Dollar Died, again, you can get it at paulmcguire.us, and you should get it with the bundle book packages. I have a chapter called Making Money on World War I. Let me read it to you. In 1916, President Woodrow Wilson ran on a campaign to keep America out of what would become World War I. Colonel House, his radical socialist advisor, had already entered into secret deals with England, which pledged that America would enter the war. Now, by the way, President Woodrow Wilson's top advisor, Colonel Mandel House, he was a radical socialist. That's putting it mildly, and that's my own writing. He wrote a book called Philip Drew Administrator, a novel in which America undergoes a violent communist revolution and is ruled by a communist leader himself, basically. And the book exposes the revolutionary, hardcore communist ideas that President Woodrow Wilson's main advisor
was leading Wilson on the path of. I mean, this is insanity. Let me continue from my book. Quote, "The international bankers wanted America in the war." Sounds familiar. J.P. Morgan, John D. Rockefeller, Colonel Mandel House, Jacob Schiff, and Paul Warburg had loaned England large sums of money to finance the war. For the international bankers, one of the safest and most profitable investments is war. In addition, the international bankers often finance both sides in a war. Paul Warburg helped America and England to finance the war. At the same time, his brother Max Warburg held one of the highest positions in the German government, and he lent the Germans billions of dollars to finance their war. So, no, I mean, let's just break this down. You got two of the wealthiest men in the world from the Warburg family, the world's elite. And so there's two brothers right before World War I, Paul Warburg, and he uses his billions to help America and England finance the war in World War I. But at the same time, Paul is financing America and England. His brother, Max Warburg, became one of the highest officials in the German government, and he lent the Germans billions of dollars to finance their war. Now picture this. This is documented, by the way. So you have the Warburg family, one of the wealthiest families in the world. Paul Warburg is spending billions to finance the war effort on behalf of America and England, okay? World War I. His brother, Max Warburg, is investing billions of dollars in financing Germany's army and Germany's war machine. And then a similar thing happens in World War II. So what happens is you have international bankers and Wall Street bankers, household names, who financed both sides of the war in World War I and World War II. Think about that. There were hundreds of thousands of Americans and other people who died in these wars. Hundreds of thousands of Americans and others who died in these wars. And just one international banking family is financing both sides. So one Warburg is spending money financing the German war machine, which is killing the sons of American families in World War I and World War II, while his brother is financing American England. So they are selling the bombs, the bullets, the rockets. The hundreds of thousands of soldiers are being killed on both sides while one family is making money on both sides. That is evil. Evil. That's demonic. Never held to account. No New York Times article about it. Covered up. But covered up in plain sight. And what continues to happen was that, I'll read you from my book, The Day the Dollar Died. The American people were told that this would be the war to end all wars. That's World War I. While American, English, German, and French men with wives and families were slaughtered, international bankers made hundreds of millions of dollars off of World War I. Wow. Wow. And then as that happens, you read, as I have in The Day the Dollar Died, how the Rothschilds and the international banking families then begin to take over the Washington Post. The international bankers take over all major media outlets in the U.S. and around the world. And that's why you have all these cable news networks, all these media outlets pumping out essentially the same lies or variations of the same lies. With some true conservatives sprinkled in. On page 106 of my book, The Day the Dollar Died, I have a chapter entitled Bankers Bankroll the Red Revolution, and I document the fact that the Bolshevik Revolution, or the Communist Revolution in Russia, was built on the big lie that communism would liberate the oppressed masses. And that's a lie. And in the book, The Day the Dollar Died, I document how Lenin was secretly sent across Europe in a sealed train. And on this sealed train, Lenin was given $5 to $6 million in gold. It was part of a secret operation that was planned by the German high command and Max Warburg, the brother of Paul Warburg, who created the Federal Reserve System, and how another agent created and financed by the international bankers, Trotsky, moves from Manhattan aboard a ship, and then Trotsky appears with 300 trained revolutionaries. In other words, the people who started the communist revolution were not the dissatisfied workers or the ordinary German people. They were trained. They were an army of hire, 300 trained revolutionaries that came from other places in the world. They were paid for by the international bankers. They weren't really communist revolutionaries. That was just a fake. And these communist revolutionaries, they were paid for. They couldn't. The Russian people, the ordinary working class, middle class Russian people, didn't want communism. So the international bankers hired thugs, convicts, criminals, and gave them guns and bullets and paid for them to be fake communist revolutionaries. And since that time, Russia has been under a totalitarian dictatorship. Now, this is what they want for America. But what has prevented it is America has had, up until recently, a strong evangelical Christian base. A large percentage of the population, at least outwardly, held to a biblical worldview. That number has been diminishing because it's been under attack via the school system and the media. So now we're facing perhaps the greatest challenge we've ever faced, where we're making decisions about the future of America and your future, should the Lord tarry, and your children's future. And the one thing that we have to look at as we see what's happening before us, the one thing that we have to realize is that we are not in this time zone, in this place, or whatever nation you're in. We're not here by accident. It's not a coincidence that you're here, or it's not a coincidence or a chance that you're listening to me. God chose, as I've said before, God has chosen you before the foundation of the world to be here for such a time as this. You were chosen before time to be here for such a time as this. And God, before the beginning of time, not only knew you, but he supernaturally equipped you with everything that you need to survive, to be victorious, and to be an overcomer in the last days. So it's not an accident that this threat level is skyrocketing, and yet you and I, whether we like it or not, were chosen by God to be here for such a time as this. What does that mean? It means that what you and I do matters. It means that in the plan of God, what you and I do has the capacity to alter or shape destiny and the future within the sovereignty of God. Now, that could get into a whole heavy theological thing, which I'm not going to get into right now. But within the sovereignty of God, God has given his people the power to make choices, the power to repent, the power to seek him in prayer, the power to stop being apathetic and be good citizens and vote when you're called upon to. God has given us the power to change things. You know, when I hear some of these Christians talk who abuse the Bible, in their interpretation, and they say things like, well, it doesn't matter who you vote for. It doesn't, you know, you shouldn't vote. Well, first of all, Jesus is not running for office. So if your excuse is you can only vote for somebody as pure and perfect for Jesus, you just struck out right there, because Jesus Christ is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He's coming back at the second coming along with the armies of heaven to rule and reign planet Earth for 1,000 years. He is the rightful owner of planet Earth, and he's returning to Jerusalem to rule and reign planet Earth. Jesus Christ does not need to be elected by the people. He already is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. So all those Christians who cop out and say, well, I can't vote for this person. They did this. They did that. Yeah, well, maybe they did it, but you thought it. So don't be such a hypocrite. Some of these sins you're so outraged about, you thought about. Now, maybe you repented. Well, good for you, but you need to repent all the way. Start with repenting of your apathy and repenting for wrongly dividing the word of God. God would not have given his people the power to vote if he didn't expect them to vote. And God would not have told his people to pray for all those in authority above you if indeed those prayers were not effectual, if they didn't work. God wouldn't call you to pray if he didn't know that your prayers can change things. Otherwise, what would be the point of praying? I mean, the Fruit Loop, Cocoa Puff, thinking capacity of your average Christian is terrifying. Let's do the math again. Why would God have commanded his people to pray for all those in authority above them? Why would God have commanded his people to pray for leaders and people in power above them and to pray for our nation? Why would God have commanded us to do that if our prayers couldn't change anything? In other words, it's obvious then that would be a pointless exercise. It would be an exercise in futility if God told his people to pray for their leaders, etc., if indeed those prayers couldn't accomplish things, as many Christians suggest. God would either have to be a psychotic, or you got a whole lot of people misinterpreting his word. I would say to you, we got a whole lot of people misinterpreting his word. It's obvious that the reason God is commanding us to pray, to humble ourselves before him, to repent of our wicked ways, our apathy, to pray for those in authority, it's obvious, blatantly obvious, that God gave us these divine privileges to pray, because God knows that prayer actually does change things. The problem is we got a lot of Christians who have been deceived by various forms of spiritual deception, and they have rejected biblical truth and replaced it with spiritual deception. Let's just do it again. God would not have commanded his people to pray for those in authority above them if our prayers could not change things. God would be insane, and God is not insane. So, without any doubting whatsoever, it's 100% certain that the reason God has called us to pray is because God has given us the power to change things, thus the power to change things in the future, just like God has given us the power to restrain evil now and in the future, if we will obey him and pray. If we will obey him and pray and then do the things he commanded us to do, such as voting.
Oh, where in the Bible does it say we're supposed to vote?
I feel like slapping some of these people silly. Where in the Bible does it say we're supposed to vote? That's like asking me, why didn't Jesus Christ use an electric toothbrush? That's a stupid question. God addressed the issue of whether or not Christians should vote when he commanded us in the Bible that we are to be in submission to our government and to our government's leaders. Therefore, if God commanded us to be in submission to our government and government's leaders, one of the primary things that our government requires of us as good citizens Government expects each of us to vote. Government expects us to participate in the political process by voting. That is what it means to be in submission to government in a place like the United States, where you have the privilege to vote. So don't give me this nonsense.
Well, where in the Bible does it say we're supposed to vote?
I mean, really, man, get a vacuum cleaner and stick it to this one side of your ear and suck out some of the dust. I don't mean that literally. I don't want some weird email. So just use the brain that God gave you. There's an on button to it. It's called the mind of Christ. Just press the button on, read the word, and use redeemed common sense or a sound mind. And if we do that together, we can change what's going to happen in the near future, because what's going to happen in the near future hasn't been determined yet. It may be determined soon, but at this moment, it's not locked in stone. And the only way we can do that is we have to play the game to win. We have to get in all the way, and we have to use everything we have at our disposal to win the spiritual battle for the hearts and minds of our fellow citizens in America and of mankind. And that means we use every media, every video, every audio, every in-person meeting possible, and we engage in the battle of giving people reasons and answers for why the Bible's true. And you can help us in this ministry do that. The time has never been more critical, because the time may not be available. You understand what I'm saying? I'm very serious about that. We win because we fight the spiritual battle first. So thank you for being an intercessory prayer warrior for me in this ministry. Please continue on fervently, fervently. Again, where I'm broadcasting from, the sky is embedded with smoke. Fires are raging. And I could go through the whole litany. And you know what you're asking me. Well, why are you there? Because God hasn't told me to leave yet. The second he tells me to leave, I'm out of here. But I learned a spiritual principle a long time ago. Better to be in a place of adversity and challenge and be in the will of God than to seek a place of apparent comfort and apparent safety out of the will of God. In other words, the key is not whether it's safe or dangerous. The key is, where does God want you? Now, an addendum to that would be, God doesn't expect you to be a fool either. He expects you to use your common sense. YouTube has issued a new policy. You're going to notice it when you don't get videos from people you want to get videos from. It's called censorship, by the way. And you need to keep checking in with paulmaguire.us and connect to our new video platforms and audio platforms. I would suggest you would do that with anybody you want to listen to. Okay, because it's being shut down. And isn't it interesting, the timing of the shutdown? I need you to help me do an end run about these things. Help us establish the new platforms. Spread these messages far and wide. But guess what? I don't think you can, at this moment, I don't think you can send out YouTubes and stuff anymore. Because they've changed it. They've rigged it. So you're going to have to be diligent if you're committed to winning the battle for the hearts and minds of people. And finally, in every war, there's a cost. I just gave you the example of how evil bankers financed both sides of World War I and World War II. The reason those wars were so intense is because money, big money, was behind the war machines. In the same way, it requires finances to finance a spiritual war. A spiritual war, of course, is not one of bombs and bullets. It's one of preaching the gospel, is winning souls, proclaiming a biblical worldview, teaching the Bible, making disciples of all nations. But in the throes of a battle, You have to be adequately financed. You don't have to be luxuriously financed. You just have to be adequately financed to purchase new platforms, to continue to get the truth out there. And so I thank God for every one of you who have gone before the Lord and just in obedience to the Lord asked him, do you want me to donate, contribute to Paul McGuire Ministries, Paradise Mountain Church International? He asked the Lord, Lord, you're telling me yes, how much do you want me to donate or contribute? And then how often and how much? And then whatever God says to you, obey him as he prompts you. And he may change what he's telling you. I mean, what God said one year may be different a different year. But I want to thank God for every one of you who have been faithful to give and to contribute to this ministry. You're making this outreach possible. I thank God for your faithfulness. And my wife, God, thanks God for your faithfulness. But I'm telling you, I'm in this 100% because you know what? We either win this war or, I don't have to tell you. That's how serious it is. And I believe we can win this war. I'm convinced with every fiber of my being that we can. But if we surrender to defeat before we engage in a spiritual battle, we can't win. That's called unbelief, by the way. You and I are not unbelievers. We're believers in Jesus Christ. So I want to encourage you with that. And remember, you will be victorious. You will have the supernatural power to obey God without fear. You'll have the supernatural power you need, the resources you need, the wisdom you need, the guidance you need, as long as you keep seeking the Lord. You can't win this on your own strength. I can't either. But if we seek the Lord and ask him to fill us with his Holy Spirit, we can be strong through the power of the Holy Spirit and the reading of the Word of God. So let's continue on in the peace of God that passes all understanding. And let's allow God's guardian angels to surround us. God bless you, your brother in Christ, Paul McGuire. Stay true to Jesus. Visit paulmcguire.us.